If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the What Podcast. Which bands this year that matter? If you're new to the show, welcome. If we've known you for years, welcome back. Barry Corder, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner, alongside Consequence Podcast Network, Devin Gaffillion this week. Festival First Timers, we did Almost Monday last week, which, you know, I think that we need to start doing, Barry, a ranking of hair. If we could rank our guest hair, who would have the best hair of all time? Paul Janeway?
He's in the running.
Is he?
Yeah, is he? Everything about that man is in the running.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make the top five of guests with hair.
He's in the conversation.
Ball cap guy, though. I mean, it's Taco and it's Paul Janeway. Very good guys in hats. Guys that look good in hats. So today we talk part two of our Festival First Timers episode last week, Almost Monday. If you didn't get a chance to listen back to that, the kids are, you know, on the precipice of, you know, possibly making it, right? They've got a shot. They've got, you know, a hit on the radio. They've got everything working for them. They look the part. They sound the part. Now it's just about, you know, actually getting the right song. And I don't want to get too out in front of us, but finding the right song is the hardest part for all of these artists. No matter who you are, getting that right song to hit, to sync, to cut through the noise is the hardest part. So in an effort to try and figure out how to find that right song, Almost Monday's A&R guy is going to talk to us next week, Barry Corder.
Pretty cool. Everything about that was fun. I went back and listened, and I was proud of us. And you, if you remember, we all said, you know what? I used to hate these type of guys. The 16, 17-year-olds that have the world by the tail, and they do. But they're great kids. They were great. There was a lot of fun. They are kids. Yeah. But they're very good. And to have the A&R guy, I can't wait to talk to him to see what he's looking for.
Yeah, and I'll explain what that show is going to be coming up in a little bit. But first, let's talk about our festival first-timer guest this week, Devin Gaffillion. I love this man. I love this man. And we talked about it in the Almost Monday episode, but I will repeat it. As a radio guy who gets pitched, you know, having artists come by all the time, not in the, in a pre-COVID world, of course, but having artists come by all the time, you get very tired of this. You know, you have to pretend to care. You know, it's uncomfortable. You got to eat, you know, crappy delivery pizza. You know, it's just, it becomes too much work. Well, there was a day where my music director at the time said no to an artist named Justin Bieber when Bieber was 16. So I, at that moment, said, we will say no to no one ever again. Now, that proved to be very laborious. We've said yes to way too many, way too much garbage. One of which, she's on a reality show right now. She'll remain nameless, but it was a disaster on every level, and it almost made me want to leave the industry. But we keep pushing forward. One of the guys that came by years, you know, after that decision was Devin Gaffillion. And at the time, I just remember saying, this guy is so gregarious. He's so happy. He's just a bucket of energy.
Right.
I don't know if he's got it, but he sure as hell wants, I want to be his friend. I want to hang out with that guy.
Yeah.
Who would have known that a few years later he would be nominated for a Grammy? First shot out of the cannon, the guy's got a Grammy nomination.
I love this interview. I told you when we hung up that it's one of my favorites ever, and I mean that sincerely. And I've done this a long, long, long time.
Interesting.
He was just a lot of fun, and the music is great. I'm the fact that he goes at and tackles Marvin Gaye. I mean, we talk about that. That's a pretty bold.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bold reach right there. Yeah. Let's go do Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
He could have covered Devo, but he chose well, Marvin Gaye.
Rock and Roll inductees, by the way.
Yeah, so it's remarkable. So he puts out his first album, and it's critically acclaimed. It gets a Grammy nomination for his second album, you know, where most artists really fumble. And he talks about that fear that he had writing that second album. He decided to say, no, I'm not going to write a second album. I'm going to cover one of the most iconic albums of all time in a moment where it really, really matters. And he covered the entire Marvin Gaye What's Going On album. And it's, I don't know, if you're starting to pay attention, he's getting a lot of attention for it. I mean, as soon as we hung up from that conversation, Barry, I turned on CNN, they were doing a story on him. You know, if you keep your eyes open a little bit, you're going to see this guy starting to pop up everywhere because this album's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, let me tell you, one of my favorite interview quotes ever. I ask, and I don't remember who, and I wish I could because I would give him credit because it's brilliant. I ask about the sophomore jinx, basically. It's the second album. Because what happens is you got a guy, and he says he had his whole life to write his first album, right? What a great quote that is. But then the second one, you're on the road, you're touring, you know, and I mentioned that to whoever this person was, and they said, yeah, nobody cares that your bus driver's had a bad day.
It really you know is
what
I mean? True.
That's you what just, becomes the sophomore album. It's all about life on the road. And
life on the road. Yeah.
Nobody cares.
No, I've got a friend. I got a friend of mine. Taco knows, a friend of ours too. Every time he hears somebody talking like that, he always goes, nobody cares.
A little dramatic.
Yeah, a little dramatic. It's so true though, because when you ran out of things to write about, what do you start writing about? Well, let me look around. Potted plants. Let me go with potted plants
for 13 months. Yep. Every hotel looks the same. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. All right. So Devin Gafilian today on the What Podcast. I really like this conversation. I think you're going to like it too. But first, before we get into Devin Gafilian, I wanted to run through some headlines, some consequence headlines. So there were some announcements made in the past couple of weeks of music festivals that are at least in our wheelhouse. I have never been to Firefly, but I know people that have, and I have heard nothing but wonderful things about it. They put out a lineup that, Barry, I don't know if you know, but I work at a radio station. I run an alternative radio station, and the state of alternative radio right now in 2021 is it's a bit tough. It is not at its peak performance, that is for sure. And it's a lot of artists that don't necessarily, we don't really know if they're going to be anything. And there are a lot of what I call faceless artists. Well, that is the Firefly lineup from top to bottom. I am more interested in if Firefly sells out than maybe any other festival in the country. They put out a lineup that is my station's playlist from top to bottom.
Okay.
You know, aside from, you know, the Lizzos and you know, the Wiz Khalifas of the world. But, man, you go through there, they might play 40. They might have 45 artists that I play on that lineup. So will you get an accurate perception of what alternative radio is right now by the way that this thing sells in Dover, Delaware? I think so. I think that you're going to get a good idea as to if these artists really... I like Cannons. Cannons had a number one single on the alternative charts. I don't know if anyone in America knows who Cannons are.
Yeah.
Barry, do you know Cannons?
No. That's an interesting question.
Taco, ever heard of Cannons?
No.
Exactly. Yeah, they had number one single. Yeah, number one single. This is what I'm saying. Like, you go through some of this lineup, Barry, and tell me your first impressions.
Well, you got Billie Eilish on top, Killers, Tame Impala, Lizzo.
The Killers on every lineup for the rest of mankind, for the rest of history.
We've got Tame at Bonnaroo. That's pretty, and Lizzo, that's pretty strong. Then you got Megan Thee Stallion, Cage, Roddy Ricch, Wiz Khalifa, Machine Gun Kelly, and then I'm just looking for names I recognize. Portugal Man, Sylvanesso, Glass Animals.
Well, this is where it gets really interesting for me because I haven't done the math, but there's got to be 50. There's got to be 50 artists on here that I play on my radio station. And I have played and interviewed Oliver Tree. He's going to be at Bonnaroo. It's one thing to put Oliver Tree on the Bonnaroo lineup because there's so much around him that's going to support it. But if your entire lineup's full of Oliver Tree, I don't know how this is going to work. I will say, although I'm very interested in the Firefly lineup and I really want it to work for my own sake, my own professional sake, and the format that I've, you know, put so much of my time and money and investment and you know, self-worth into, I just don't see festival lineups other than Hangout that are this targeted, that are this small of diversity. There is one lane for this lineup, and that's it. And I think I and you probably know why, based on the people that book it, they know how to super serve their audiences.
Yeah.
The people that book it are the same people that came from Hangout Festival. And if you have been paying attention to the Hangout Festival lineup for years, what do you see? Over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it has been super targeted to top 40 radio.
Yep.
Well, Firefly lineup is super targeted to rock and alternative radio.
It's a really interesting question. The Moon River Festival announced this week as well. It's a boutique festival here in Chattanooga. Had the conversation with the co-founder, Drew Holcomb, the other day about...
Which you can go back and listen to our conversation with Drew Holcomb. Do we have that up, or was it so bad that we had to take it down? I don't remember if that was one of those that just got lost in the trash heap.
It does seem like we had some sort of sound issues with that one, but he was great. Point being, you know, they had to cancel like everybody and rework their whole schedule. So my question to him was, how easy was it putting it together and when did you start? And he said like 7 weeks ago.
Wow. So he had
7 weeks to put together a full lineup, a 2-day festival. You know, so point being, do you just take who's available? I mean, how much can you actually curate at this
point? What did he say to that?
He said it was a bit of a scramble for sure, but it was fun.
Is that why for a Americana Roots Festival, they all of a sudden have Dr. Dog on the lineup?
You know, Dr. Dog actually does pretty well here in China.
Yes, I know they do, but it doesn't fit with Wilco.
Well, but it's that, to your point, I mean, and I didn't ask him based on this Firefly question that you're posing, but it's an interesting question. You know, at some point you got to take best available, I would think. Just to run through real quick, Wilco, Lord Huron, Drew, Lake Street Drive, Old Crow, Dr. Dog, Indigo Girls, Hippocampus, Dawes, Coin, Shovels and Rope, Yola, and then...
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, look, the star of that coming out of that weekend is going to be Yola. Just put every dime that you have on it, Barry. But every dime that you have that you're going to walk out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, in love, praying at the feet, falling down around Yola. She is magic beyond imagination.
Yeah, and there's a lot of others in the undercard that he mentioned that he's very excited about. I mean, obviously, he's selling his event, but he's put together pretty good lineups in the past.
Look,
but your question is, and we talked about this 8, 9, 10 months ago, you know, how will they come out of this when everybody's trying to have a festival in September and October?
Yeah.
Do you take best available or do you, you know, can you curate something? So I think it's a really good question to see how Firefly sells. That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bonnaroo sells out. These boutique festivals are going to sell out mainly because they're your regional festival. They're your regional spot where you can drive to pretty easily, get a hotel pretty easily, maybe drive back home pretty easily. The ones that blew me away, not only Bonnaroo selling out, but for a 180,000 cap music festival to sell out in Vegas is beyond comprehension to me. beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in the middle of the summer. Firefly is interesting to me, for me personally. I don't know if it's interesting to anybody else. These boutique festivals, though, you know, I said this last week and the week before, it is the era of the great festival lineup. We are in a world where you can look around and see a great lineup. I mean, we could make one. We could make a great festival lineup on my porch, and it would work.
Yeah.
It would absolutely work. We are just in that era because of what Drew said. You know, you get you're just throwing some stuff against the wall because people are available. But with that being said, it's going to be hard for them to sell tickets. You know, I do worry that if it's going to, if the big ones sell out, it almost feels, well, that makes sense. This boutique festival in Chattanooga, the boutique festival in Iowa City, Iowa, do they get the runoff? Does it trickle down to them? Do they already have a built-in audience that's going to come back no matter what?
Let's don't put words in Drew's mouth or mine.
I would never put anything in your mouth, Barry.
That's not what he said. Was that, you know, that's how this lineup was built. I'm just raising the question, and raised it to him. No, he's happy. He's very happy with this lineup. I'm happy with this lineup.
It's really good.
It's very good lineup. I'm just posing the question for some of these festivals. Does that become a problem? You know, because they're all booked. But I guess part of what we're seeing, like you said, with who was it? You said is everywhere. Tame
or Killers? Oh, the Killers.
Killers. Is they've been dormant for so long. Not just them, but a lot of acts, and they want to play. And the other thing Drew said, which I did find interesting, is typically the radius clause is a factor, and pretty much everybody's playing nice. So you're going to see bands on multiple festivals or even venues like in, you know, near you that you wouldn't see in the past.
What? Where's Allie? Can we call Allie and ask her? Can we ask
good question, wouldn't
see
it?
What she's seeing when it comes to booking and radius clauses? Look, I think that the festival line, I might be talking out of both sides of my mouth here, and frankly, I'm not thinking I am. I always do. But if the festival world, it may just be so insulated that there's no way things don't do well. It's the right. Theater shows that I'm worried about. Maybe I need to refine exactly what I'm trying to say. I don't necessarily worry too much about festivals. I am interested in what happens in Delaware with Firefly because of my own professional interest, but I'm worried more about the Offspring coming to the Fillmore, to be honest with you. I'm more worried about, you know, Moon Taxi coming to the Joy Theater, because when all of these shows start hitting, and the reason why you're seeing so many of them announced now for, you know, 6-8 months in the future is because they need your dollar now, because they don't know if they're going to get your dollar in 2 months, which is why I am stunned as to what's happening with Lollapalooza. When I was told that they were going to announce the lineup a month ago, they were doing it because they were trying to get in front of everybody. Yeah. Now they're not only going to be at the back end of everything, but they're going to have 2 months to make this thing work. Yeah. 2 months to sell it out, to sell 100,000 tickets.
The good city, point about the venues.
The city wants it. The city is dying for it. They're trying to move heaven and earth to make it happen. I have a feeling it'll do just fine. But the local venues around, I mean, how well will the Metro do in Chicago when the dollar has been stretched so unbelievably thin?
Yeah.
You know, you get to November and December, or frankly, even October, you know, you've got people who have already milked their budget for, you know, this festival, another festival, three other shows.
And I can see 100 bands
at a festival. Right. It is. You know. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I'm most worried about instead of, you know, festivals. I don't think the festival world is hurting too bad. I mean, at the end of the day,
legitimate question.
I mean, at the end of the day, let's be honest. I mean, AT&T solves a lot of problems. You know, a check from, you know, big corporate sponsor really goes a long way. you know, when PBR is now the sponsor of Moon River, things get a little easier. You know, you can breathe. Yeah, it's sort of like getting a stimulus check, you know? You get that stimulus check and the man like, okay,
yeah,
that helps.
You're right.
Doesn't solve all the problems, but it sure as hell helps.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's the grants and all the other things that are coming in. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We've got some more consequence news coming up here in a second, but I want to get into the Devin Gavillion chat, if you guys don't mind. You want to get into this?
Let's do it. It's fine. All right.
Can you hear me now?
There he is.
Yes. There we go. Oh, yes. What's going on, Brad? How you doing, Barry? I know Barry and Russ disappeared. I can't see him anymore.
You know what? That's going to make Barry very unhappy because he's in a hair war with me right now. And he doesn't understand.
I'm killing it today, man.
He doesn't understand
it.
That the winner of the hair war keeps keeps winning the hair war. Devin comes in with a...
Barry's definitely winning. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brad.
Devin is strong.
Ooh, how dare you? How dare you?
It's strong.
I'm so happy to see you again. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for your success. I can't believe what the last year has been for you. Isn't it a little weird to find the most success in your career in maybe the worst possible year of life?
Absolutely.
Am I okay? Can I be happy for a second? Am I out?
No, I mean, like, it's weird because, you know, as terrible as this year has been, you know, there has been so many beautiful things that came out of it and necessary beautiful things, you know, like getting out of the abusive relationship with our president. That was pretty cool, getting out of that.
I don't know what you're talking about. This podcast is sponsored by QAnon. We don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know about you guys, but I've like quit watching the news pretty much, and I don't watch.
You know
PBS.
Why? Because you can breathe, Barry. That's because
breathe.
We can finally say we don't need to watch the news every day. We can finally say, "Oh, thank God, this is over. That thing's over."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
there's still important stuff happening, but I not like every day. So
man. Oh, sorry, Brad. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It is like the news. It really does feel like we can chill. Like we can watch the news every. We can catch up on the news every other day.
Yeah.
You know, like
right.
it as opposed to just like getting yelled at and tweeted at.
I mean,
really
my doom scrolling doesn't exist anymore. You know, the thing that I'm obsessed about with our president is no longer, you know, drinking bleach. It's man, he's a giant compared to the Carter family. I'm obsessed about a picture and not, you know, what we're.
I didn't know Biden was so huge. He must be like 9 to 10 feet tall. I guess
it is. It is. Damn near the funniest photo I've ever seen in my life. I am obsessed with this photo. Like, when did the Carters live in, like, the movie Elf?
What is it, Lilliputian? When did they become Lilliputian?
I mean, even the teacups are teeny tiny, you know? Poor Rosalind, her head is the size of Joe Biden's hand. It is the greatest photo I've ever seen. I love Devin so much, and I would say this even if he wasn't a part of the show. I'm so excited about his show. I'm so excited about him hitting the bottom lineup. I love the fact that he's sort of like the show for Thursday for me. But I want to start, if you don't mind, Devin, for the people that don't know who you are.
Yes.
Can you just give me the ABC of what, who, why Devin is Devin?
So, yeah, ABC. Let's go. I love, you know, I'm a product of so many things, rhythm and blues, rock and roll, psychedelic rock, soul, folk, gospel. But, you know, I would say my two North Stars are Marvin Gaye and Jimi Hendrix. And, you know, I want to touch the world the way that they did and do it in 2021, you know, and you know, I'm from outside of Philly. Born in a little small town in Morton, Pennsylvania, grew up playing music up, you know, just kind of like dilly-dallying with some bands here and there, and my dad's a music a wedding singer, so you know,
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the one who got me into it, you know.
There it is. I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
There had to be wedding. What a perfect. I mean, you're gonna hear all kinds of stuff from a wedding singer, right?
Oh man, I remember watching my dad learn Nelly, It's Getting Hot in Here, like when that came out. And that was the goofiest, funniest thing I've ever seen to watch him. Yeah. Watch him rap that.
Yeah. You know, son, I'm doing this for the white women.
Was it cringeworthy kind of funny for you? I mean,
oh, it was cringe. Oh, cringy, cringe funny. Like it was the most cringeworthy funny. But also, you know, he also was singing Earth, Wind and Fire, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles and, you know, all the Michael Jackson and you know, all those cats and the Jet, like all those, you know, Marvin and the Temptations, all the Motown stuff. So that's all the soul I got it from Pops, from Nelson.
So Lord Taco and Barry, you know this well about me, but you know, if not for, you know, 60s soul, I don't know if I'm the person that I am. If not for Syl Johnson and Otis Redding and Otis Clay, I'm not the person I am. But to me, the one that doesn't get any of the credit is the king of Philly soul, Mr. Solomon Burke. And one of the greatest shows I've ever seen at Bonnaroo was one of the final shows that Solomon Burke ever had. I mean, it was one of these moments where I looked around and, Devin, there might have been, I don't know, 85 people there. Nobody knew what Solomon Burke was, and they didn't know what in the world was happening on stage. But when I think of you, I think of the king of Philly soul, Mr. Solomon Burke. So I'm glad that you rattled off all of the people that sort of shaped me. As we're essentially the same person, I think, is what I'm trying to say. You and me might be the same person.
No, yeah, no, you're my brother from another mother. Come on.
Sure, yeah. How did you get from Philly to Nashville? How did that story come about?
Well, you know, I was going to school for psychology, actually, in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and then I was like, nah, I don't want to be a therapist. That's not what I want to do. So I applied to programs in the AmeriCorps, which is kind of like the Peace Corps, but you work for a nonprofit that's based in the United States. You can go anywhere in the US. So I applied to Nashville, New Orleans, and Austin, and got accepted to the program in Nashville.
You're telling me, New Orleans, we missed you by this much? Missed you by this much?
This much, man, this much. I would have loved to kick it around NOLA.
Yeah.
But you know, Nashville, I'm really glad that basically Nashville chose me, you know, in a way. And if it hadn't, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. So it's crazy.
I was going to go back to the Hendrix and Marvin Gaye, because I heard another band earlier this week, their three main influences were basically Hendrix and Marvin, soul, and Miles Davis.
Wow.
And I mean, right? I mean, if you're going to go with three basses, that's a pretty good mix right there, isn't it?
It's going to make a nice gumbo right there. I'll tell you that.
You can pull from anything.
He is really, really killing my New Orleans thing, isn't he? He's really driving that harder and harder, isn't he?
throw some Cajun spice on that one right there, you know.
Please do.
But no, I mean, Jimmy, Marvin, and Miles, I mean, goodness Lord, that's... Yeah, you got yourself.
That's it, right? The Holy Trinity.
You're doing it again. The New Orleans funds just can't stop. The Holy Trinity. You guys are really, really pushing it hard at this point.
Go back a little bit and talk about this last year for you professionally. What's it been like?
Man, I mean, it's been a roller coaster, but like we said earlier, you know, some beautiful things have come out of it. Like, you know, just rediscovering Marvin's What's Going On record and getting to re-record that and get that, like, invite all my homies in Nashville and some homies from all around the U.S. to come and help me sing on that and raise money for this nonprofit Equity Alliance, which was awesome. they fight voter suppression here in Tennessee, which is crazy. Tennessee is like 45th in voter turnout and registration. So it's like, what? That's where there's only 52 states, right? What's going on here? 51, you know, like what? So I got to get more involved with politics in that way, which I really, you know, I loved learning so much about just, I don't know, the whole process and also how much suppression is in this country. And
I guess too, probably since you did it, the what's going on, you know, Marvin, we all know, cause it's so smooth and so sexy, but he was, I mean, it's sad. And isn't it in a way that album still is every bit as powerful?
It is sad, Barry. I really, it's funny. I was telling somebody earlier today, I was like, I wish this album wasn't so relevant.
Right.
I wish it wasn't, you know, every day we see stuff in the news, Black people getting killed by police and then police officers not getting held accountable and then laws being, you know, just today there was, I think, 34 different laws being passed in states for voters, like just killing people with voter suppression. And I mean, they actually in Oklahoma, they made it legal to run over protesters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
as long as you're 21. I know. Whatever the logic, it makes
you know,
sense.
I'm sure that it's not. It's all a little. You know, it is and it isn't what it is on what it looks like. But it is what it looks like. You know, if it smells like it, it tastes like it, it feels like it. It's probably racist. Right.
But Devin, what you're doing though, what you're doing with the what's going on, I don't want to get too far down that path just yet, but what you're doing with that, what you're doing with, you know, what you're saying now, what you did with your first album, it's still therapy.
Absolutely.
You didn't want to go to school for therapy and to be a therapist, but that's essentially what you've become and just translated into a different art form.
Brad, absolutely. I mean, I wanted to study music therapy specifically, and I ended up, you know, doing exactly that. And I want to stay true to that as an artist too. Like, I do believe, you know, having a platform, having a label behind me, having all these things, is a responsibility to heal. Because that's what I think music, that's what music is here for. It's to heal people.
Well, I mean, I think that's what the first album did. And by the way, the first album, I mean, Black Hole Rainbow, by the way. I can't speak enough of, but I don't need to. I mean, Barry, it's got a Grammy nomination. I mean, how do you come out of the gate doing that?
I'm so grateful I got to make that record, make that album the way that I did. I got to cook it up with Sean Everett, who's this crazy Canadian cat. He's a producer out in LA. And, you know, we just swung microphones in front of amps and trying to recreate Leslie sounds and like throwing water on the ground and recording that, like just doing everything that we could to get the sounds that we wanted. And also, it's your first album. You get to write it your whole life, you know. Which is really nice.
Right.
But
that's right.
So like the songs were, you know, probably I'd say half of them I wrote in like a year, within the year or two of Black Hole Rainbow. But most of them I wrote like probably 4 or 5 years before that. But yeah.
So what we like to do a little bit here is to get a little bit inside baseball. When you're talking about getting in the studio and, you know, whipping microphones around, who is there helping you doctor the songs? Is it a record label representative? Is it a music doctor? Or is a manager, have they given you complete freedom to say, you know what, see what you get? We'll see what happens with you, kid. And then,
well, not just freedom, but here's the money.
And yeah,
that's usually the key. Right. It's those two things, right? Here's the money to go play because it's not cheap. So, sorry to jump on, but it's a great question.
Sense. No, it is a great question, and honestly, they really let me do whatever I wanted to do. You know, that like my A&R for Black Hole Rainbow, Chris. Chris, he was amazing, and he really let me come in, and he was hands off. The label was really hands off, and in the creative sense, you know, like I was in there with Sean and my band, and that was it, in the studio, that is, you know. So, yeah.
How protective are you of that space? Do you let pretty much anyone in, or do you like it to be a very small circle that's creating in that very, very vulnerable spot?
You know, it really depends on who. Like, I typically keep it small, but like I also love when I have friends that I know are creative and have crazy brains, and you know, I love for them to be in the room and to just be a kind of like a meter, you know, kind of like see what they're feeling and see how they're reacting to the music. So yeah, sometimes I bring outside peeps in.
So you I mean, what you said about you have your whole life to write your first album is great. That's so great. It's so to sort of add on to this same conversation. Now that you've had success, we talked to Paul Janaway from St. Paul and the Broken Bones before. There's sort of this, now somebody comes in, knocks on the door, you know, he's a consultant, he's a VP or whatever, and he wants you to do, you know, old standards maybe, or you know what I mean?
Well, that was,
we can make a lot of money, you know?
But that was the brilliant business move. You know, it fit the time, but now covering Marvin Gaye, brilliant second album idea, by the way. Brilliant second
album idea. Yeah. Oh man, I mean,
a little bit more time.
Yeah, no, I definitely like covering that album. You know, I didn't even think like it's weird because I didn't think like, oh, like I want to just cover Marvin Gaye's What's Going On for fun, you know. It was
not fun. This
No. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like that music is it's jazz, you know? Like it's like great. It's really complex, and you know, I really, so like when I decided to cover it, it was like I did it because it was a mission to, I wanted to get that message out again. And like it killed me, like listening to it and being like, wow.
Man, I didn't even think about like, yeah, I mean, I said it's hard because of the sociological impact of everything, but I didn't even think about as a musician how hard that is. I didn't even think about that part of it. Like how much preparation, how much work did it take for you to get it right? And with the pressure on top of you saying, oh, if I don't get this right, this is a very, very brave thing you did.
Thank you. Yeah, no, like it for me, I definitely was like, no one's gonna make a record, no one's gonna recreate this album better than the original. So I'm gonna do my version of it, and I'm gonna get people who are way talented than I am too to join me and recreate this album. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, there's no way I could have done it by myself. And
how does, you know, like with all that being said, how does that translate live? You just did your first show in a year. I don't know. First off, however that feels, I can't even understand. But how does some of that stuff translate live for you? It's got to be, you know. Speaking of which, it can't be easy. It can't be easy.
I mean, when we did. We really, I only got to play What's Going On live really once with for this live stream that we did, and I mean, it was so powerful. It was so magical being on the stage with like 12 musicians and playing music live again. Even though at that point when we did it, which was back in October. At that point, you know, there weren't any audience. Like, we were on stage still playing with each other, and that felt unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But as far as like 2 weeks ago, we got to play a gig in the Highlands in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we were outside at this festival. Everybody's in their pods and, you know, in their little things. And people were going crazy. Like, yeah. It was magic. It was weird, a little weird, because you're like, you want people to come out of their pods, you know, but they can't. But like, it was still like, oh my God, like, I'm getting energy from people.
Let me clear something up. You didn't have 11 people on stage with you at this festival, did you? Are you taking 12 people out on tour with you?
Oh, no. Oh, this was this 2 weeks ago. This was
he's going to be broke.
Oh, I'm so broke. I want, that is my dream for sure, to have like a 12-piece band, you know? But right now we're just 4-piece in it.
Okay. All right. I was about to say, because this guy is, the bravery is running up against insanity, I think. Going to take 12 people on tour with you. What does the tour look like? What does the rest of the fall and the summer look like? If this is your first sort of go at it, what's the rest of the year going to be?
You know, Brad, gigs are slowly trickling in, and we got some festivals this summer. We got Floyd Fest in Virginia. We're doing, forget this one festival that we're doing in Kentucky, but we're doing, of course, Bonnaroo.
Yeah, you're doing Bonnaroo. Railbird. Is it the one, Railbird, in Kentucky?
We're not doing Railbird. Okay. I wish we were doing Railbird. All my homies are doing Railbird.
Everybody.
But we got a couple other festivals. Hopefully fall, we're hoping something comes through, and
yeah,
you know, we'll probably do some support in the fall is what we're thinking. Yeah.
Very cool. What are you thinking about Bonnaroo? What are you expecting?
Oh,
I mean, you're in Nashville. How much, what do you know about Bonnaroo?
Well, I've only been once.
Really?
I've only been once, 2015. That was Billy Joel. Kendrick played Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Great work.
My Morning Jacket. Who else? Oh, I got to see Reggie Watts.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was so good. I mean, all I know is that I'm hella, hella excited and very grateful that it's in September and not June, because you know it's hot.
Well, that's something we've talked about in the past. I actually
so sure
with we I know with you know with September. The with the global warming that can't be named. I actually think that Tennessee's hotter in September than it is in June these days. I think it's hotter in September. I think June is now the spring in Tennessee. You know, last year June 15th was like 62 degrees during the day. Do you remember that, Barry? It was unbelievable. The weekend of Bonnaroo.
Amazing. Best weather ever.
Are you talking about 2 years ago?
Yeah. Last year, the canceled year. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah, it was. Because we were supposed to play it, and I remember being in my backyard and being like, this would be so good. Yeah, this weather.
It was kicking you in the crotch twice.
Right?
I'm glad. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
I was going to say, we were very excited to see your play on Thursday, because that's become, every day is our favorite day, but Thursday has become probably one of our favorite days.
What's our day of discovery?
It's Discovery Day.
Yes.
And so, you know, everybody is so excited. They're pumped.
Yeah.
That's when you go find the act that you didn't, you know, you'd never heard of, and they always are great. So we were really excited. Not that we've not heard of you, but excited that you're on that day, because it's such a magical day. I don't know if you're aware of it.
What's the group like in Nashville for you? Who's your group? Do you have a good group of musician friends that are on the precipice? Who's driving you that way?
You know, I'm lucky. I got like a squad here in Nashville. I get to hang out with Jake, my buddy Jake from Illiterate Light. Have you heard of him?
I know Illiterate Light. Yes, they've been through my radio station in Chattanooga back in the day when I lived in Chattanooga. Illiterate Light came through the thing, and they hung out in our parking lot for about half an hour. And they're like, "So what do we do now?" And I said, "Well, I drink."
Oh beer. Man!
So in these moments when I question myself, I start drinking.
I just start drinking.
Illiterate Light. Poor Illiterate Light. Yeah.
Jake and Jeff. Jeff's in Virginia, of course.
Oh, I forgot. I hate to interrupt. We've had them on the show. Barry, yeah, we had them on the show 2 years
really?
Ago. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I
man.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, we know I'm an idiot.
Oh, hey, listen, I have my brain just farts. My brain farts every, if I could smell my brain farts, I'd smell live a very.
Like roses.
Stinky life.
do you know our guys, Kristen and Jared from Repeat Repeat? The theme song writing for the What podcast, Repeat Repeat.
No, ma'am.
We need to connect you. We need to connect you with Jared and Kristen. So you need to get them because you're closer to them than I am at this point. But they hate horns. I need you to get them in love with horns. For some reason,
you can do it.
Oh, man. Budos Band. Who else? Who else is just like, I just love. I mean, who hates horns, man?
Thank you. I know.
Come on. I get like, you know, like I get it. Like when people always say, get a horn section, you know, they yell at me and I'm like, man, like I want it to be different. I want it to be cool, like, not just like a, you know, you throw the sriracha on everything, you know?
Sure. Which is why I want to learn how to play the cornet.
Ooh, okay.
Nobody plays the cornet anymore. Nobody is playing this teeny tiny, has one note, you know, you just, it's just like, sounds like a duck call. But I want to learn it, like the recorder, keep the cornet and the recorder.
It'll come in handy. It will.
I think so. What else, Barry? What do you got?
I love it, man. I can't wait to see you. I'm so looking forward to it. Who are you looking forward to seeing? Are you going to hang around? I mean, you're Nashville, so I assume you're going to be around.
Barry, I am getting a camper in every. I'm doing.
Are you really?
Like,
Would you like to stay at Camp Nut Butter? We have available space at Camp Nut Butter. You can stay in Taco's bus. room.
Hey, listen. As long as I get my own little bunk, I'm good to go, man. Oh, hey, yeah.
You do. I mean, he crawls in somewhere in the middle of the night.
As long as I'm Little Spoon, I like to feel the arms. Like around me, man. You know. Oh,
perfect. Yeah.
You have found your match with Lord Taco. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I want to. I mean, Lizzo. Mm-hmm. I got to see Lizzo. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tame Impala is definitely on my top.
Not only do you seem like somebody who cares about the history of all of this, but you care about what is happening in and of the moment. Who are you listening to right now? Who do you like?
Right now, I am listening to Steve Lacy, Thundercat, Nick Hakim, Kali Uchis.
I love that Kali Uchis album. Yeah, ooh. I love that song so much.
Oh,
yeah.
She's on fire. Who else? I've been listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's this new cat on the block.
Well, I will.
You should look him up.
Yeah, I will say that the year 2015. I haven't told the story in a while, but I'll go ahead and tell you the Billy Joel Kendrick Lamar year. So right before Billy Joel this is my Billy Joel story. So right before Billy Joel on the What Stage of Bonnaroo was one of my favorite bands of all time, Spoon. I love Spoon with all my heart. So. We're standing on stage for Spoon, and to get off the stage in the back, there's this long ramp that takes you all the way down to the artist group area or whatever. And so all of us are leaving the stage, and one person from afar is coming up the stairwell. And he gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And who is it? It's Billy Joel. It's Billy Joel. And nobody, not one person has stopped this guy as he's coming up the stairwell. Not one person. You'd think if it's Billy Joel, somebody would have stopped and said, oh my God, there's Billy Joel, everybody. Not one person. So I had to be the guy. I had to be the guy that stopped the piano man and said hello. So I, this is my moment, right? This is my moment. I get to stop and talk to Billy Joel.
Oh, just, man.
Just to jump in, let's make sure we understand. This is a guy who makes a living talking. And this is what he says. That's
trying to pull content out of my rear is my life. Yes. I reach my hand out and I say, Billy Joel! And he looks at me, grabs my hand as if he's been waiting for this entire time for somebody to grab his hand and shake it, like realize it's Billy Joel. He grabs my hand with authority, looks at me, and I go, great work. Let's go my hand and says, thanks. And then walks away. Yeah. Well, there you go. That was my...
Every time Billy Joel does an interview, somebody says, what are the great moments that you remember in your career? There was this guy behind the what stage?
These pothead kids at Bonnaroo, they don't appreciate art. They don't care about me. I'm the piano man. I had Chris Brinkley. And all this jerk can say is good work. Oh, man, I blew it.
Sometimes you just can't, there's some people who I don't even know what to say, you know. I don't even.
Devin, it was one of those moments where I realized I don't have anything to say to Billy Joel.
Yeah,
well, I just don't have anything to say to him.
I got to interview Brian Wilson a couple of years ago. I called my brothers who are huge fans because I said I need help because I'm going to go Chris Farley. I'm going to be. So you were in the Beach Boys.
Yeah. That's not what, that was not the moment I had with Billy Joel. I just realized I just don't have, I don't care.
Don't care. No, and that's honest, yo. That's so honest. Like I was at Capitol Congress in LA at this party at Capitol and Beck was like right like 10 feet away. Chatting with somebody, and I was like, I wanted to go over to him.
But what do you say?
And I was just like, but I was like, I don't have a damn thing to say to Beck right now. Like,
hey, loser baby, am I right?
I'm a loser baby. Right.
You never heard that.
Hey, loved Deborah,
E Pro,
step into my Hyundai, right? Step into my Hyundai, am I right? What do you say?
House Scientology. I mean, oh shoot, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to bring that up.
It really is a good point. I got you say this. I'm paralyzed with fear now if Beck ever came into my life because I love Beck. That is one of the most fun shows you could ever see, but I have no earthly clue what the hell I talked to Beck about. Not one clue.
I would Cowboy definitely talk about Scientology. I would absolutely be like, so Beck, Scientology. Tell me about it. All about it. Everything. Why?
never leave his grasp. He would
why?
Never, he would never get out of his talons.
So the cheese dip's pretty good.
Aliens? Aliens, Beck? I
will
say, though,
it is remarkable to like talk to Beck and think that whatever I'm saying to him right now might make a song in the future. Like, whatever I say, he could put into lyric that's going to make no sense whatsoever, but I'm going to be in a Beck song at some point.
That's why you got to just say the craziest things when you see Beck, you know.
Man, I'm so happy for you. I love the album. I love the cover album. I think that you got the world in front of you, and if I can push anybody to a show on Thursday, it's Devin's, and I hope that when Bonnaroo comes, you come back to Camp Nut Butter and hang out chat with us at Lord Taco's bus.
I'm coming for the spoon. I'm coming for the whole. I want a four spoons on a whole spoon session, man.
This has become a much different podcast than we anticipated. This has gotten a very weird podcast.
Hey, we can spoon you if you're vaccinated.
Oh, I got the double Pfizer in me. Come on, you know.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah, well, Pfizer Bros.
I got the.
We fake. Only have one real rule, Devin at Bonner, and that's no touching. So we're gonna have to.
Yeah, we don't touch.
But no, yeah. Well, I get that.
You'll be there Thursday.
I get that.
Thursday's okay. It's Sunday.
Yeah. So we do have one rule. I tell anybody, no sex. Don't have sex at Bonnaroo. It's just
oh, yeah.
Unless it's the first day or the last day. First day, okay. Last day, you're all disgusting anyway, so what does it matter? But yeah. Here's the best news. Taco is baxed, waxed, and ready to be a snack. So you are...
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
I had all my shots.
Oh, snap.
Oh, God, Taco. Right.
And we'll have more moonshine, too.
I'll bring the guacamole. How about that?
Oh, man. You know, we don't have Barry brings the pimento cheese. Barry, does the wife make guacamole too? Who brings the guac?
I think Devin's bringing it.
All right. You got the guac then, I guess.
I love it. It's going to be great.
I love it.
Devin, thank you so much for taking your time out for us. And we'll see you Labor Day weekend. I can't wait. We'll see you then.
Oh, man. I can't wait. Brad, Barry, Taco. Yeah. I will. See y'all, and thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you. This was
see
awesome.
You, appreciate thanks soon. Yeah, anytime.
Thank you.
All right. Devin Gafilian on the What Podcast, Which Bands This Year That Matter, Lord Taco, Barry Quarter, Brad Steiner. Before we get into the news about Foo Fighters in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there was a headline at Consequences website about an old game show that I love to talk about here in a second. But before that, let's talk about the giveaway that's happening right now. For Bonnaroo tickets. Bonnaroo's completely sold out. And guess who is getting you tickets to camp with Barry Quarter?
These guys.
Yeah. Are they going to be right into your tent, Barry? Are they going to be with you?
We're going to have some filters. We'll figure that out.
Will that filter be will that filter be a security guard at the witch stage? Keeping.
Maybe. Okay. Going to have to find out if they can preach or not.
I don't know what you're talking about. We haven't talked about that yet.
We'll get to that.
So let's go through how you can win Bonnaroo tickets. Lord Taco has crafted a fine contest for you, the What Podcast listener.
You're going to follow the What Podcast on Twitter, the What _ podcast.
I told you he was the best.
Follow the What Podcast on Instagram.
Wow.
And make a tweet or make an Instagram. Make both. Double your chances.
Love that.
Tweet us, tell us why you want to go to Bonnaroo, share a memory about Bonnaroo, share a picture maybe of your campsite 1 year.
Yeah. Photoshop us into your campsite if you want to.
Now that now you're talking. You can get very creative with this.
Photoshop Barry's tan onto my face.
Ooh. I was thinking my hair on your head.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That would hurt.
If you really want, if you really want bonus points. But hashtag it, the What Podcast, so that we can find it. And that's all you got to do. Then you're entered. We'll pick somebody.
Really?
You have tickets away, too. And make sure you're following us so that we can DM you if you win, so that we can get you on the show or, you know, get your info.
Yeah. Look, rate, review, share, splice, cut, murder, whatever the words are that the kids are using. Do those things, and it's just going to help your chances to win. Count them two passes to Bonnaroo with a camping pass as well. And along the way, you know what? I'm going to make an executive decision. We will throw in What Podcast gear, won't we?
Love it.
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, Barry likes it because that's. Barry's going to include the whole box. What size shirt you wear? Here's all of them.
Yeah. How many koozies do you need?
Anything to clear out this basement, can you?
Get that garage cleared out.
You're going to give them, not only are you going to give them What Podcast material, you're going to give them an old bandsaw. Yeah. You're going to give them some fabric old, that's been left over.
Good housekeeping magazines.
An old washer and dryer you've been trying to get rid of. Yes, you're going to win all the things in Barry Quarter's garage. It's very exciting for you. So
grab a box of stuff.
Follow the What Podcast, the What _ podcast on Twitter. I can never remember the Instagram. It's just the What Podcast on Instagram,
just
right?
The What Podcast. Yep.
Okay. Follow those two things. Hashtag the What Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Make a picture, make a tweet, whatever it needs to be to get our attention. And we'll pick a winner here in probably 2 weeks or so, right?
Yeah, soon. So they can make their plan.
All right, we've got a ton of show left. So we talk about the Foo Fighters. I'm going to talk about some other things, including my favorite childhood game show, next on the What Podcast. Hang tight. Festival First Timers Part 2, starring Devin Gafilian. I hope that if you do anything other than listen to the show and then rate, review, and tell all your friends, and then subscribe, and then follow us on Instagram and Twitter. After you've done those simple things, I really do hope that you spend some time with Devin. I have a theory, Barry. I try to tell nobody. You know how people walk up to you and they're saying, you got to watch this show. This show is so funny. It is the funniest show. Well, what do you like about it? It's just great.
Yeah.
You know, people do that with music too, right? I love Cardi B. Why do you love her? Just love her. Well, what? You got to listen to her. Why do I got to listen to her? You just got to. Just go listen to her. I hate doing that to people. I don't want to ever be the person that's giving you something that you may not like. You know, I am never going to invite you to my house. You're never going to come over for dinner. I just don't have any faith that I'm going to give you something that you like.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, sort of the, you know, start of this show, to be honest with you, if you remember. but I don't. So I say this with all reverence. Please give him some time. Give that album a try. I love it so much. I love him so much. And even if you don't like the music, him as a person is just so phenomenal on every level. He's the kind of people that I want to root for.
Yeah.
In this industry.
Just want to be around.
Yes, he's infectious.
His story about his dad being a wedding singer. That's a new one. That was funny. Never thought about that, because we all have those cringeworthy moments with our parents. Doesn't matter how cool they are, good they are.
Yeah.
You know, his dad trying to learn a song. It's just funny. We can all relate to that.
I mean, he's cool. I will say this. Have you ever, you know, when you're courting a lady, Barry Corder, you know, when you're looking for, you're dating around and you think you found the one, and you're trying to figure out when is an appropriate time to text her after the first date. You know, it really went well. You think it really went well, and you know, like, maybe I need to wait a day. No, I'm just going to text her tonight. I'm going to text her tonight. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited. I had that conversation with myself after the Devin interview. I had to talk to myself. I was like, well, can I text him now, or should I wait till them? I'll just do it now. I'll do it now. So yeah, I texted him that night, and I felt like a total fool.
Yeah, did he write back and say, who is this?
I mean, it was, I had to send him my Bitmoji to get him to remember who I was. But no, I feel like we're going to be pals. We're going to be dudes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I feel that way about Warren Treaty. I feel like we connected so much that I want to write to them all the time.
Yeah. Well, why don't you?
Myself, they probably, well, I have, and we've talked, and they... But it's one of those, I mean, repeat's the rare exception where we actually have become very good friends.
I love Warren Treaty, but I just don't know if we have much in common.
I feel like I do with them. I love
them.
Do
you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're preaching a lot.
Well, you wanted to be a preacher. You know, so you got that.
That is a story for a completely different show.
You got that in common. Brad wanted to go to preaching camp. He's going to become a preacher.
I did not want to go to preaching camp. I went to preacher camp, and I won a competition to be a preacher. And I realized, no, I'm not going to get to this. I can't.
That's fine. But whatever.
I don't know.
Hang on, there's a preacher camp? What do you do at preacher camp?
You preach. I don't remember what it was, guys. Okay, it was like 4-H for like Baptists, right? It was like 4-H for church folk. And at the time, look, I'll be very honest here. I am not a religious man, but at the time, I really loved going to church because really, really, really pretty girls went to church, and I was hitting on very, very pretty girls. and I had an automatic in at school when I saw them the next day. We knew each other from, what is it called? It's not Sunday school, but youth group. Yeah, from youth group. So I had an automatic in. Well, what would be like the rock star in our world now? Who's the rock star of youth group? It's the preacher.
The youth preacher.
Either the rock star or not.
Dad. Yeah,
there's no middle. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I entered into this competition to be like win a preaching competition, and I thought that would get me some girls. You know, I took an unorthodox way around.
You're not alone, but it's just funny. I'm pretty sure that's not on the brochure.
It is not. No.
Come to preacher camp to pick up girls.
Not something I put on the resume. So I anyway, I go there and I've whipped up this thing. All right. And if you guys know anything about me, I do a radio show for 21 years that is full of what, Taco?
Fart jokes.
Fart jokes. Got it. So I have been doing the same bit for 20 some odd years. Well, I guess I started it all and learned it all from preacher camp. You can whip up any show and make people feel good about it. You know, if you got the right sort of recipe, watch the movie Leap of Faith. That's what I got. I literally took whatever the guy was doing on Leap of Faith, and that's what I did at preacher camp. And I whipped up something that made a couple of passes. I don't know. It was so sacrilegious what I did. So I get on the stage, and I'm whipping them into a frenzy. It's all hooting and hollering, and like Barry would say, and I win. The girls didn't come after that. That was not the recipe.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that didn't work.
Stunning.
It didn't work. Thinking, he's too religious. I don't know what.
I was just coming here for the meet
guys. Yeah, I came here for the cute guys, not some preacher.
I thought that these kids would be cool. Now they want to do is talk about Jesus. This is not what I wanted.
He'd be a real drag on a date.
Yeah, what a boring party. Don't ever invite him. He's going to talk about the Super Bowl of God. So, which, by the way, was the name of the thing that I whipped up.
Can we have a preacher camp at Camp Nut Butter this year? That sounds fun.
Mike Doerr wins every year. So, okay, it's a long, ridiculously long, stupid story. Short, the point is that afterwards, it didn't get me girls. It didn't get me anything that I set it out to be. I won some sort of medal. But what I did realize is the power that bullshitting gets you. And I'm not kidding about this. I have. If there's one thing that has tied my entire career together, it was that moment at 15 years old winning a preacher competition based on a whole load of bullshit that I then weaved for the rest of my career. And what do I do to this day, Taco, on the air?
Still doing the bullshit.
Still doing bullshit, yeah.
Yeah. still doing it.
There you go. There you guys go.
Well, let's bring it back. Up there. The Warren Treaty don't have that. I love them.
I don't think Warren Treaty went to preacher camp.
I'm pretty sure they don't consider me a friend, but whatever.
Yes. Welcome to Preacher Camp. This is the What Podcast.
I love Devin, too. I want to be around Devin. I hope we get to meet at Bonnaroo.
I think that was the point, yes. I'm sorry to take that into a completely bizarre direction, but yes, the point is I just like to hang out with Devin.
I think for listeners, they have a much better understanding of Brad Steiner right now.
I think
bullshitting you this whole time.
I feel like I don't think I hide much when it comes to my professional career. I'm pretty wide open when it comes to these kind of things. I don't think I hide anything from you guys. This is what you get. You get Leap of Faith, Steve Martin, whispering lies in people's ear. The final thing that I wanted to get to, there's two more things I wanted to get to. I lied. So we'll make this quick. One, Bonnaroo headliner Foo Fighters, nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Barry Corder, I didn't know the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was still a thing.
You know my feelings on lists. As a newspaper guy, I have a love-hate relationship with them. I read them, They make me mad, like everybody else, unless it's somebody I like. So, I mean, that's why we do it. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's people in there that shouldn't be. Foo Fighters belong. I'm looking at the list. Mary J. Blige, Kate Bush, Devo. Absolutely. I love Devo. Go-Go's. Okay. Iron Maiden. Jay-Z. Yes.
Look, it's gotten to the point where if you've had a hit, you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's the same reason why I hate the Hall of Fame in anything. They've watered it down to if you showed up, you get in. Yeah, baseball's a little differently because they have a very high standard.
Like preacher camp.
Preacher camp, you win.
I have a problem with baseball Hall of Fame because they won't do unanimous and all. I mean, that there's that political too. But I agree, you should have to earn it. I mean, Tina Turner's on this list. She should have been in a long time ago. Todd Grundgren, we can argue. New York Dolls, certainly game-changing in their own way. LL Cool J, Carole King, absolutely.
Why is LL Cool J in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Because where else? Come on. There is no other hall.
The qualification, there are people who have gotten into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they've done more than just make panties drop. And LL Cool J has done nothing more than that. Anyway,
it's a discussion. It's the reason they do it is because people just like this. We're talking about it. That's why it exists.
Well, Foo Fighters are in it. I'll say this. We'll probably do a Foo Fighters episode one day because there's so much to sort of unpack with them. But I will say it again. I've said it before. Dave Grohl is the best ambassador for rock music that we have left. He's the best one. He's insanely fun. He's insanely open with his time. Everybody loves him. He tries to bring everybody into the operation. There's just nothing bad about him. And even if you don't like the music, but he is the best ambassador for rock music that we have, period. And I don't know if anybody else moves the needle like he does. He's the Tiger Woods of rock music.
I agree. Totally.
And then finally, the last headline from Consequence that I saw today, Taco, and this is really for you. Legends of the Hidden Temple will get an adult reality show.
Oh, yes.
I am obsessed with this idea, mainly because, well, first off, you were a Legend of the Hidden Temple kid, weren't you, on Nickelodeon?
Yeah, I mean, that was right along with, like, Finders Keepers and Double Dare. Yeah.
Okay, now we're talking. Yeah. All right, that, so that's in the same room. Of all the things that you could create an adult reality show over, right? Of all of the 90s Nickelodeon game shows that you had that you could create an adult reality, why Legends of the Hidden Temple? It was so stupid.
That's so much else to work with.
The whole show was built on you finally get into the temple, a kid runs around, and then somebody runs outside of the door and scares the kid. That's it. That was the whole bit. Why not do adult Double Dare? Why not do adult Finders Keepers? Finders Keepers was my favorite show as a kid because that house was so fantastic and you got to trash it. What more fun?
That's what everybody wants to do.
Yes, even as an adult. Do you know how badly I'd love to trash this house right now? If it wasn't my house, I would love to do that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Because I'd have to be the one that cleans up. No one else here does. Why is it that that's got to be the show of all the shows? You know, so I had this argument with a friend of mine all the time. If I'm going to watch an old Nickelodeon show, I'm watching the best old Nickelodeon show, which of course is Hey Dude. Don't give me The Adventures of Pete and Pete. How dare you look at me and give me The Adventures of Pete and Pete? Or
Salute. I was actually
going to
say Pete and Pete.
Yeah, I know it. But why not go for, like, Double Dare? Double Dare is the game that would... forget Supermarket Sweep. Give me Double Dare.
Yeah, if you're going to remake one show, why is it a Double Dare?
Barry, my dad one time promised me he was going to build me a Double Dare course in our backyard because I so badly wanted to slide through the big giant lips into a pool of green slime. And grab a flag. Do you think that he built that for me?
No, never happened.
Yeah, that's why
they didn't have that at preacher camp either.
No, this is why I am the way that I am, guys. Yeah. I didn't
I'm just
get
gonna you've guess been denied on the your dad whole life. Who made a lot of promises. It was either the green slime or the big lips he was struggling with on how to do make that happen. It always sounds like a good promise until the reality hits. How am I going to make these giant lips? Yeah.
But my bet is that he made the lips. He just never shared them with me.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Let me hang a bed sheet and you just pretend they're big. Yeah, it doesn't work.
All right, next week. I'm really excited about this. Almost Monday's A&R, guys. So what is A&R? A&R, we'll talk about this in depth next week. But A&R is artists and? Exactly. It's the hardest question in the industry to answer. Repertoire. Repertoire.
Okay, I did not know.
Exactly. Okay. What does an A&R guy do? Who are these A&R guys? A&R guys find the bands that you listen to and then craft their entire career and are the ones that curate everything about that career. All right. One of which, Mike Daly from Hollywood Records, is our guest next week on the What Podcast. Really excited about this. If you like the booking episode, if you like the booking agent episode, you're going to love a conversation with an A&R guy. It's something I've been dying to do for my entire career. I had one night with the head of A&R for Interscope Records. It was a game changer. I'm excited about this next week. That's Laura Taco. That's Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. We'll talk to you next week at Preacher Camp with the What Podcast. Love you, man.
Consequence Podcast Network.